Did you all get a handout? Is there anyone that does not have a handout? If this is the first time you've seen it, you need to know that it's out on the internet at Dave Roberson's website. If you're not familiar with it, well, let me say it this way. I'm not here this morning as a teacher. I'm not here this morning as an instructor. I'm here this morning as your best friend for you to win the war that we're in. I am here as a general. I know that. I am here wanting a group to war with everything that's going on at the prayer center. I'm wanting everyone to be dressed right. I'm wanting everyone to have the same heart and saying the same thing and pressing towards the mark. I believe this morning, or really within the last week, there is a change of season that has taken place. And that change of season, it's what the Lord would call offensive warfare. It's what the Lord would call laser focused. It's what the Lord would call single-mindedness. It's what the Lord would call pressing towards the mark. It's what the Lord would say, become a doer of the word. On and on. It's time to move into the future. It's time to become active, aggressive, intense, and win. It's been over 2 years ago that the Lord said that we were to leave the wilderness. You remember that? We were no longer in the wilderness, and that we were no longer going to be supplied by manna. He said that every piece of ground that we took in our own personal lives, plus as a body, would be based on offensive warfare. So if you'd like to turn to James with me, and James chapter 1, with the time allotted, I believe, I will go right to reading from the Amplified. You can follow along in the King James. But over the last, since the first of the year, it's been brought up more than once that how are we going to become a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. I'm speaking more to myself this morning than to you. You just happen to be listening. If you fall in line with it, that's wonderful. But I'm tired of losing. I know the Lord absolutely loves us. As you read these with me this morning, as we go through some of them, you will find out that He has nothing negative to say. Nothing. He has no condemnation. He has no scolding. He only has encouragement after encouragement after encouragement after encouragement. He's really talking to us as children, as He should, like I would talk to my grandchildren, to say, please do this, please do that. Come on, let me help you. Hold my hand. Oh, don't do it that way. Let me show you, do it this way. That's all we are as children. The moment that we think that we are more than that, we've already missed it. Okay, let's go to James. Verses, for those of you that are keeping notes, it's verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listening to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own nature, natural face in a mirror, but he thoroughly observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But he who looks carefully into the flawless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who regrets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. I consider what you have in your hand personal letters from the Lord Himself to the family of the prayer center, to the body of the prayer center. I believe it's the Father has said, Son, let the Holy Spirit tell them this. This is what they need to know now. Not 20 years from now, not 50 years from now. They need to know it now. Now, the nice thing about the Word is 50 years from now, if somebody picks this up and reads it, it'll apply to them that day. Because God sits outside of time. He's not time bound. And He will be saying the same things to them as He is saying us to us, if they are in the place that we are in our walk into Him, doing all that we can do to be like Him, etc. You can take any of these words, and we will do one this morning possibly. You can find hundreds of scriptures that verify everything that's within this. But it seems as though the Holy Spirit loves us so much, so does the Father, so does the Son, that He has become your tutor. He's become your teacher. He's become your advisor. He's become your very best friend. There ain't nobody like Him. Nobody ever will be like Him. He is it. And He wants you to win. He wants you to win. He wants you to possess the promised land, your personal promised land, and the body's promised land. He has not sent any of these by accident. He's taken a person of His choosing, incidentally, not yours, decided to say something to us that we need to learn, we need to study, we need to meditate on. They do not replace the Word. They only embrace it. They only hug it. They only become one with it. Okay. Let's go to, let me say this. I will read this. I believe you've heard it from my lips before. But it's one of the principles that He told us. This one was actually back in 2010. I will read it. As a father to my family, I'm about to give you a key. For each one who picks up this key, it will be your staff of victory. I'm just about ready to tell you something that will open doors for your life personally. I'm going to make it easy for you. If you think your future is locked, this will unlock it. I want no locked doors in your life. None whatsoever. I want no rooms that you're not able to walk into, because when you walk into that room, I'm there. I'm right there waiting for you to unlock and walk in. I don't have any closed doors into me. Every door is wide open. And I want you to have this key. This key is take each word that I speak to you as if it is said only to you. If you think of it for someone else and not you, you have already erred. An adjustment needs to be made in you towards truth. Each word I speak to you that I do not specify to another as if it is to you alone. We all have personal words. Gary Carpenter's personal words are not your personal words. But every one of you have personal words. But when he's speaking to the body, he's saying, don't think that this word on this sheet of paper is for anybody else but you. Don't let anybody take it from you. Don't let anybody have your copy. Put it somewhere in your heart to where nobody can steal it from you. Because God Almighty, the Trinity, said, I want you to know this. You understand? I want you to know this. I want you to eat it. I want you to sleep with it. I want you to prove that it's true. I want you to go to the Bible if you want to go to the Bible. Look up the principles that every one of these lines say and find it and know that it's me speaking to you. It's not someone else. Another word that he gave us was, I'll give you the date, 2006. Boy, that's old, isn't it? It's probably not any good today, huh? Probably a waste of time to read it. You know, I'm surprised lightning didn't come and strike me when I said those stupid things. It's living. It never dies. Not ever, ever, ever does it die. It's as powerful as it was. It doesn't increase in power. You increase in knowledge that the power is resident there waiting for you to grab a hold of it. And it's constant. It's always there. It's always there. It never, ever will die. He said this, With my own arm, I gathered you unto myself. And I am rekindling an appetite in you. An appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you. He just elevated what you have in your hand equal to his words. I didn't. He did it. He's saying what I said 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago or 100 years ago and what I say today, it all has the same value. With my own hands, I've gathered you into myself, and I am rekindling an appetite in you, an appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you, that they become your very life, more precious than gold, more needful than your necessary foods. With the measure that you give my word, this is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. Meditation, image, delivery, right? We have that foundation in us. For years, we've had that foundation in us. Meditation, imagery, delivery. Why don't we turn to, you don't have to turn to it, I'll just give you the references. Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. Jesus answered the enemy. He had just fasted 40 days, etc. The enemy comes, thinks he finds a weakness in our Lord, and says, why don't you turn these stones into something to eat? He probably does that to most of us between lunch and dinner. You know, But he was looking for a weakness, and there was none. There was none. And Jesus answered him and said this. Jesus answered him saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, or by every word that proceedeth from the Father." Jesus says it is written. It is written. Any of you know where it is written? Deuteronomy 8. Let me read it to you. I'm going to read it to you again out of the Amplified. "And you shall earnestly remember all the ways which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your mind and heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he may make you recognize and personally know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." This is part of every word. This is part of every word that proceeds. My recommendation, suggestion, if I could beg you, if we were one-on-one meeting counseling, I would ask you to read these a minimum of 50 times, just like we read 1 John, just like we read the Word. I would ask you to read them 50 times. I would ask you to live them 50 times. The amount of warfare that's going on. Incidentally, every war is won by us, period. So I'm not afraid to use the word warfare. That's what it is. Everyone you win. Everyone you win if you stay in Him and stay in His Word. There's nothing that you can ever lose as long as you stay in Him and stay in the Word. Let's go to the first one on the handout. Now, I'm going to read it very, maybe you call it jagged, very slow, and with comments. This came December 28th, 2014. It's already 3 months old. "Continue to scan the horizon with the eyes of your spirit, for you are rapidly approaching a new day where the light you walk in shall be so bright that what you have walked in up till now shall seem like darkness." You realize you have to close your eyes to see that light. Because if we all keep our eyes open, there is nothing but darkness. I look at each one of your eyes. I look into your face. What you're going through right now, you're winning, but it is sure not light. It's sure not bright. We're winning. But he's saying, from his eyes, if you close your eyes, he said, look in with the eyes of your spirit, for you're rapidly approaching a new day where the light you walk in shall be so bright that what you have walked in up till now shall seem like darkness. You have now learned. You know he's talking to you, right? He's not talking to Dave. He's not talking to Gary. He is, but he isn't. If you take this word and say he's only talking to me, I don't care what you think. I don't care what your family thinks. I don't care what your friends think and your enemy thinks, etc. I only care what this says. This is my word. This is my word. I own it. When I close my eyes, do I see the horizon? Do I literally see Jesus as Lord over Tulsa? Do I really see Tulsa's in revival? That's too broad. It's true. But do I see what he has said about me? Do I see that horizon in me? Do I see? And is there light that is brighter than any of the darkness? It's, you have learned how to reach through the veil and appropriate those things from the spiritual realm, to appropriate those things which are truly your inheritance. Let's take a moment. Take a moment. What have you appropriated as part of your inheritance? Have you even thought about it? It's been here since the first of the year. It's literally a request. It's literally a instruction. You could say it's literally a command. But to me it's the Holy Spirit saying, you have now reached through. Take account of how far you've reached through the veil. And you now have some inheritance. And each one of us is different. Let me ask this. You don't have to raise your hands. How many of you know that you're walking in more peace than you were walking a year ago? You don't have to raise your hands. How many of you know that you're walking in more peace? You know, nobody. Leah and I have been married for 50 years, a little over 50. I cannot give her the peace that she needs, but she's walking in a peace that only he can give. How about joy? How about wisdom? How about love? How about fellowship with the Lord? Those are all part of your inheritance. And he's saying you've walked through it and you have more of it now than ever before. The devil or your enemy or whoever you want to call it, he's always against that inheritance, right? But you're defeating him. I got a speeding ticket. When was it, honey? Last Saturday? I got a speeding ticket for the first time in X number of years. It was at 12 o'clock at night. We were 4.5 hours away. I wanted to be back on Sunday morning. It was a little town. Absolutely nobody on the road but me. I was coming out of the town, and it was 45 mile an hour. Up till that time, just before you went into the town, it was 75. You go to the town, you drop down to 45, and you're headed out of town, and it goes to 55, to 65, etc. I just put my foot on the gas too quick, and I was going 56 in a 45 mile an hour speed limit. A car was coming towards me and it had to turn on its lights and stop me. Now, I could mention a few other people. Really, it would be Nathan that I should be saying. Remember when Nathan say somebody cut him off and he chased him for about 4 or 5 miles and had his knife out going like this? That was the old Nathan. Anyway, I was pulled over, 56 miles an hour, 45. Are you in a hurry? He said. Is there an accident? You know, I said, no, I'm sorry, etc. You know, he really didn't listen to me. He just gave me a ticket. X amount of dollars later, I was pulling away, and Leah reached over and touched me on the leg and said, that didn't bother you at all, did it? Because she remembers all the times that I would have said and possibly did. And it's not because I'm old, incidentally. It was peace. It was peace. That's one of my inheritances. Peace, the aggressive weapon, have we been taught. All of those things, I would sit down and take this word and I would mark down every one of those that you know is different and have fellowship with the Lord over. And then, do you ever read the word back to the Lord? Do you ever say, Lord, you said, can I read this to you, Lord? This is what you said. Really a lot of fun. And what's more fun or equal is read it to the enemy. Ha ha ha. That didn't work. I had peace. I had joy. The things which are above, you have set your affections upon, and now they have become your treasure. As you gather them into yourself, as you pull them into yourself, as they become in you, there is a reordering within you, a new understanding of your identity, a new understanding of who you are that shall release the moving of my Father's Spirit to reorder all things according to His will. Isn't that something? That your identity needs to be known before the Father's Spirit is able to reorder, to bring it to the Father's will. Continue to yield yourself unto me, says the Spirit of grace. You are appropriating now. As you mature by these appropriations, the eyes of your understanding are being opened more clearly and more clearly to the light of my counsel as I bring the mind of Christ to you on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. Appropriation. It's interesting that when the Lord gives us words, that His vocabulary is endless. The individual, I know who gave this. If I had a meeting with them or I was having a cup of coffee with them or whatever, and they would say, how are you appropriating? I would look at them and say, what in the world are you talking about? But He used that word for a purpose. He wanted you to find out. I mean, He wanted you to dig, right? He wanted you to say, what in the world does appropriation mean? For those of us that didn't know, we go find out. It's part of digging up the soil in your heart and getting the word in it. Appropriation, to take to or for oneself, take possession of, to seize, to set apart, to authorize, belonging to you personally. All that you have seen in your spirit, listen, all that you have seen in your spirit as being possible, all of those things are possible, says the Lord. Not only are they possible, but they have been the plan of the Father all along. All of those things that you see in your spirit. He didn't say all of those things that you see in your mind. All of those things that by the Holy Spirit has taught you, has placed it in your spirit. All of them, every one of them is possible. That has to do with one of my favorite words, which is blueprint, which you're all familiar with. I had an occasion this last week to have a real example of how valuable a blueprint is, how valuable that you personally know your blueprint, you personally know what the Lord has said you're going to be, and you get it in your spirit. Once you get it into your holy of holies, the enemy really has to shut up, and he has to go to another temptation because he already knows you own it, and he can't steal it out of your spirit if you stay there. I had an experience last week with Gary Carpenter. Now, I handed him the mic a little bit ago, and he looked at me like, and I said, well, you're going to need it. So this is not pre-planned. This is just something that happened that I feel as though we're able to talk about, we're able to address. And how many of you know that Gary never lies? Never ever has he ever told me anything that was one degree off. Never stretched the truth. Never, ever. So last week, let's see, how do I approach this? For about the last month, Gary has been going through challenges in regards to the Word of God. He's been going through brethren that I'm going to say it the nicest way, people that have been one degree off in their teaching. And they're leading a group of people one degree off. And then it'll go 2 degrees off, etc. So when he experienced this, he realized that he had to do something about it. Now, if it comes into my life, I normally ignore it. But I'm not the part of the body of Christ that's supposed to teach it. I'm part of the body of Christ that's supposed to deliver it to the world. So my blueprint or my walk with the Lord is different. Still the same body, but different. So I happen to be involved with those individuals that were one degree off in the things that were being said. And Gary said, what about this? What about that? And I was in agreement with what Gary was hearing. I knew that it was the Word. I understood it. But even if I hadn't, in your heart and in your mind, when somebody is expressing you something, you have a knower. You know. And when Gary first came to the prayer center, I'll use him as this example. When he first came to the prayer center, you remember he said openly more than once that he never understood a thing that Dave was saying. You know, that him and Sue would leave and they didn't understand anything. And they'd get out to the end of the driveway or something and said, we don't understand anything that he was saying, but we're going to come back. We're going to come back. We just don't understand it. That was peace. That was knowing that it was truth, that you didn't understand it, but you knew it was truth. It resided in the inside of your born-again spirit. And okay, so I know I'm dumb, but this really sounds good. It's sort of like eating something. I don't know how to make it, but I sure enjoy eating it. That's what he was going through. Well, over the last month, you know, when he began to talk to me, I'm sitting there and saying, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I had no idea why he was right. I only knew he was right. And he's went through four or five of these. No, I'm only going to say two incidents like this. And he dug, and he dug, and he dug. And you know the three chairs that have been up here, body, soul, and spirit. You know, he dug, and he brought forth and found the truth. I was asking the Lord about this and saying, I don't know anybody that's any busier than him. And why is he having to spend so much time on this to answer just one individual? And I know that it'll go to the world, incidentally. I mean, I know the future. I know that it'll correct the next generation, et cetera, et cetera. But I was saying, Lord, are you, you know, he doesn't really have a lot of time to do this. I mean, the war that's going on, you know, the battle to win, pressing towards the mark. You know, he's spending so much time on this. Help him, help him. So I was doing what I do in my private times. And I came across this word. Now, I don't know if Gary has it in his blueprint or not, but I'll guarantee you he does now. Okay. And I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to let Gary comment. But the Lord said, send this to Gary. This is showing you the value of every personal word the Lord's given you and every personal word that he's given to the prayer center. This is Dave speaking to Gary in a service during just normal speaking. Dave says to Gary the following. I see you fastened, you know, like cement, Gary. I see you fastened like cement, Gary. You were fastened to a great, big, fat anchor, fastened in his foundation. I see you fastened like cement in the foundation of God. I've chosen you to be an anchor fastened in the foundation of God. And God was beginning to balance the building, to pull on your fastening in the foundation, because he knew that it would hold. He knew it would hold. For what he is trying to set the body of Christ free from within this generation. So all of the ridicule, all of the things that are saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you don't know what you do, whatever, whatever. In 2004, God said, I see this coming 10 years from now. And I'm going to put it in you now so that you have it 10 years from now when they say you're wrong. And you know all of the false doctrine that's going on out there. He never told me that because that's not part of me. I told Gary that. You want to say anything?
This won't take but a minute. I don't think Tim knows this or connected this up, and I would have to search myself. I tremendously remember that word from Pastor Dave, and I was given a vision by the Lord roughly that same time period. Now, I would have to go back and check. You'll remember this when I say it. And this is during that time when the Lord was training me more to see, you know, it's not just always words, but pictures. And about that same time period, you know, me and my little stick drawings, Tim, I can't draw. I don't draw any better than I sing. Still stick pictures. But I had a little vision of, and it showed the foundation of God. Solid. Firm. Unchanging. And I saw myself like almost like a little tow truck guy. I wasn't really a tow truck. From me, okay, so there's this firm foundation. Then I saw a little country church representing the church, the whole church at large. And the church, something had come and blown it off its foundation. And it was over like cockeyed, half on, partly on the foundation, partly off leaning. And my job, what I saw in the vision, I was like a little tow truck guy. And I had this cable, and it was run over to the church building. And my function was to get the church back on the foundation of God. And whatever else I do in this life, you know, I mean, where it's fine to counsel, it's fine to do all of these many things. But when I stand beside, it's so real in me that I'm going to stand before my Lord one day. And that's what I'm going to have to give account for. And I don't really have a problem with being one degree off with honest hearts that are on the same journey with the rest of us. I was 1,000 degrees off, if there is such a thing. The day that we walked through the prayer center, I have probably had to repent of false doctrine more than any other person here. But I'm still very teachable. If I'm wrong, I want to know I'm wrong. And I'm willing to change. And I'll publicly say, I was wrong. This is truth. You know, aren't we on that journey? Where I have an issue is when treachery, I'm going to use the word treachery, is involved. Where motive is to draw away people to yourself. And when I find that, now then we're going to have a real issue, see. But hey, when it's an honest heart and you think one way and I think another way, well, God is not divided. One of us is wrong. If it's me, fine. Okay? But let's search, let's pray, let's walk together. Together we'll find the truth. Amen? But there is only one foundation of God. There is not. I mean, you know, the church is going to be reset on the foundation of God. And I'm so honored that he would give me that assignment. It's not always pleasant. People get mad at you and stuff, you know. Hey, comes with the job.
Is that good or what? That's exactly what we're saying in regards to knowing your place. Let's go on. But as the firstborn said, the way is narrow into those things. The way into those things is narrow indeed, and few there be that find it, but you have found it. Colossians 1:18, if you'd like to turn there. For the sake of time, I'll just read it. He also is the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be permanent. He is the firstborn. He used the word firstborn because you're the secondborn, right? You're the thirdborn, the fourthborn. He is the firstborn. But do you see what he said at the end? But you have found it. I don't hear any amens. I don't hear any praising the Lord. I mean, you have found it. Now, in finding it, we become accountable for it, but we have found it. He is saying that to you as an individual. You have found it. Don't let the enemy tell you that you have not found the path. You have found it. Past tense. You have found it. I am pleased. I am pleased that you continue to come and sit in the classroom of my training, that I may bring you your walk into the light and into the path that he has ordered for you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Let not delusion you. Let nothing divert you. Let nothing discourage you. Laser focused, right? You have found it. Do not become discouraged. Continue to be ruthless in the giving of your time in my classroom. I say again to you, listen, I say again to you, there are no limits to the dominion I will bring to your spirit, that the Father may be served by the life of Christ within you. I say to you again. Any of you know where he originally said it to us? I'm going to read to you several times that he has said this. That there is no limit, none whatsoever, to the dominion that he's empowered us with and given to us. This came forth in 2000, 15 years ago. 2000. Take not lightly those things you hear today, for those that will hearken to my voice, yield their life on the altar of my will. There are no limits to the anointing in the dominion I will bring to their spirit. I'm going to read the next one, and just, Holy Spirit's a great reminder, isn't he? 2009, behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, that we know, and nothing shall by any means harm you. This is not a cliche. It is my word. Therefore, it is truth. The dominion you now have has come from my Son, who gave his authority to you as his body that remains to do his will. There is within each and every one of you a living, eternal life. And within this life resides my authority. It is my life and my authority for you are born of my spirit. Every member of my family, every member of my family was made in the image that has as their responsibility the role of carrying out my will. And my will is to bring my kingdom's life and ways into the earth to reveal the knowledge of my nature, which is, if you write anything down, you can write this down. To reveal the knowledge of my nature, which is love, mercy, and justice. We know and have been taught pretty well about love and mercy, the priestly attributes. We have been taught almost nothing about justice, which is the kingly office, the kingly office. And you have been created in him a priest and a king. He is the King of Kings. And mark it down. Someone walked in the church this morning and said, this is Resurrection Sunday. And I wanted to say to them, you have no idea. You have no idea. But I know that they did, because the Lord had them say that. That this is truly a Resurrection Sunday for the prayer center and for the family of the prayer center. And we will begin to be kings, and we will begin to bring forth his justice. I'm not talking about revenge. I'm talking about righteousness and justice. See you in a half an hour.